Hey, this is Stacey Gatsoulias.
DC Lundberg.
Ryan Finkelstein.
Taylor Blake Ward.
Host of Locked On Yankees.
Locked On Mariners.
Locked On Mets.
Locked On Angels.
And you're listening to Locked On Braves.
Locked On Braves.
Locked On Braves.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Locked On Braves, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, partnered with our friends in the Odyssey Group and our good friends at Tegna Corporation, who believed in us so much that they decided to make themselves a partner. The Locked On Podcast Network, covering all of your favorite teams across a wide array of sports, whether that be baseball, basketball, football, pro and college, hockey, whatever. If there's a favorite sport that you have, there's a good chance there's a Locked On show and a Locked On host specifically tailored to you, the Locked On Podcast Network, allowing you to be the fan you want to be without having to do all the dirty work Monday through Friday. Just like and subscribe across all of your favorite platforms, whether that be iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Pandora, whatever the case. Like and subscribe, and you can be kept up to date every time a new episode drops, so you can be kept up to date on your situations for your favorite teams every single day. Okay, so the Braves fall in extra innings yesterday, and despite the fact that I might hate this rule more than any other rule in baseball, it doesn't really diminish what was an incredible start for Wascar Ynoa. We'll talk about that a little bit. I'm going to kind of try to separate this a little bit. We're going to start bad news first, and then we're going to end on two really insanely good notes. So first segment, y'all got to build through me. We're going to go so we can end happy and be ready for the game tonight nice and happy. So just talking about that game last night, it's a shame to waste that type of start from Wascar Ynoa. And trust me, we're going to discuss him a lot in the second segment, because he is doing some things right now that are absolutely insane, that are a welcome sight, and that if you listen to me for any number of time, you've known that the past year and a half or so, I am over the moon about Wascar Ynoa and what he potentially could be for this Atlanta Braves team. He's done nothing but prove me right and just blow my predictions out of the water. But that doesn't totally erase the fact that the Braves, after losing due to a bad replay on Sunday night, they then turn around and lose because of the worst rule in baseball last night, which is the runner on second to start extra innings. Although with a different caveat, this is the first time we've seen it as a Brave with pitchers, so without the DH. So what happens is there was a spot coming into the 10th where the pitcher's spot made the last out of the ninth inning. So a lot of people probably thought that the pitcher would have to be on second base, or a pinch runner would have to be on second base to start that inning. But because it was the pitcher, there is a rule in place that states the runner on second that starts extras is the person that made the last out, unless that person is a pitcher or a pitcher spot, in which case it moves to the player before that. So John Birdie instead gets on second base. Jacob Webb kind of got hung out to dry. And what was the game where the bullpens really just let the Braves down? And the bullpen, it seems bad because we've seen the bad outings are infinitely more etched in your memory, especially in your day-to-day memory, than like the good outings go. We expect this to be a good rotation, so we tend to kind of ignore what would be the bad ones, or we ignore the good ones and kind of look more like the bad ones. But this was not a good day for basically anyone in the bullpen, and it really wasn't a good day for Snitker either, as he made some very curious choices with his bullpen management. So far this season has not been the best kind of choices for him. But overall, the Braves' bullpen this year has been really, really good. Their ERA, their bullpen ERA, is a touch under 2 at 1.99, second best in baseball. Their FIP at 2.94 is third best, and FIP is infinitely more important to me than ERA. Their K rate is up over 11 per 9. It's the fourth best. And the best of the bunch so far has been A.J. Minter, who last night could not buy a strike, came in and walked 3 in what was a 5-walk inning for the Braves. Just could not buy a strike there in that 8th inning, I believe it was. It was just back and forth, just couldn't do anything. Couldn't find the plate, couldn't do anything. Luke Jackson had an uneventful outing, which is probably why things then went badly. Wascar Ynoa went 6 innings, was brilliant. Luke came in after him, was good, gave up a hit, but no strikeouts for him, which was weird, but no walks, no weird bad luck. And then the wheels fell off in the eighth, where it was A.J. Minter and Nate Jones, neither of whom could throw strikes. A.J. giving up two runs on the back of three walks and two more walks by Nate Jones. Just not a good outing. And Nate Jones, I did not think Nate Jones would be used in high leverage. I'm not certain why he continues to be used in high leverage, but certainly doesn't seem like a smart move as he hasn't handled it very well. Will Smith, he had a clean inning. Didn't look very good. Struggled again as for the second year in a row. He's kind of looked kind of shaky. But Nate Jones, that's a blown save for him. His ERA is only at 2.08, but that's because the runs that scored today were charged to A.J. Minter instead, which ballooned A.J. Minter's ERA to 5.06. And then to top it all off, Jacob Webb gets the tough luck assignment in the 10th, saying, hey, go out there and hold him with a runner on second. Doesn't get to start with a clean inning in his first work of the season. Gives up three hits, a couple of them bad luck, two runs, only one of those earned as he gets held with the loss. The Braves, unfortunately, couldn't do much in their bottom of the ninth, as this is another case of where we've kind of seen that some of the things that Snit has done early haven't quite worked out. Another case of Ozzie Albies. You don't think all the time that when you move a person one spot in the order that you're going to pay for it a lot. But the Braves have kind of paid for that at least two times. I think it's been three or four times in the early going where we've had really tight games late in the game, talking about like the ninth inning and beyond, where what would have been last year would have ended up being Acuna, Freddie, and Ozuna, as this year ended up being Acuna, Albies, and then Freddie. So coming up a few times with two outs and in the bottom or in the game-deciding scenario where it ends up being Ozzie Albies instead of Freddie. And while I'm not trying to disparage Ozzie in any way, obviously you would want the reigning National League MVP in the best or second best, depending on how Ronald Acuna continues to go, offensive player on the team. More on Acuna later. We'll save the third segment strictly for Ronald Acuna. And that's one of the things that you're seeing different tonight. The Braves have already kind of made some changes to the lineup tonight. Is you're going to see Freddie move back up into the two-hole. Ozzie is going to be batting fifth, which is nice. Now, Ozzie has had a lot of bad luck, and actually basically every starter with the exception of Ronald Acuna and Travis d'Arnaud have had really bad luck and just really bad offensive seasons to date. But you're going to see Acuna, Freddie, Marcel, d'Arnaud, Ozzie, Dansby. Adrianza is going to get a start at third base tonight. Pache back in center field and with Max Fried on the mound. That, to me, is the best lineup. That's the lineup that you should have been rolling out with all the time. Having Freddie bat second is perfect for in these late-game scenarios where if you got Ronald on base and you've got two outs left, Freddie's the guy that you want with the game on the line. And if they want to pitch around Freddie, Marcel, even though Marcel has started out very slow, has no homers at this point yet in the year, you still believe in Marcel. And then I've always thought Ozzie profiled nice in the middle of the order anyway because he does hit for a lot of power. Not necessarily the best bat-to-ball skills, but he'll walk enough to where his OBP is nice now too. The way the baseball goes now, you put your best hitters first and second. You get them the most at-bats. You let them start that game early and get underway early. And credit to Snicker for recognizing a mistake really early this time instead of waiting a month and a half to make this change. He's going to go ahead and make a change now. As the Braves' offense, really, they haven't been bad. They've had awful, awful luck. But they really have not been that bad. It's going to turn around. You don't see a team consistently hit the ball as hard as they do and just continue to have the bad luck that they've had. Like I said, there's two starters in this lineup right now with an average over 200. And while batting average doesn't tell you much, certainly saying that it's under 200 kind of tells you everything you need to know. I mean, there's a lot going on with this offense and a ton of bad luck that will turn. It's not just going to be Ronald Acuna, although right now, basically, the entire offense has been Ronald Acuna for the past homestand or so, for the past four or five games, as he's just on another level, just a totally different planet right now than everybody else in baseball. We've been saying on Twitter that Acuna has been visiting planet Trout. Right now, Trout is visiting planet Acuna. I mean, it's a different level with this kid's being able to do, and we're going to talk about him in the third segment. But what we were going to talk about next segment is the insane growth of one Waskar Anoa, a guy that most people would say should not even be in the starting rotation. What has been so crazy about him? How has he been able to do what he's been doing? We're going to discuss that coming up next right here on Locked On Braves. Hey everybody, it's Dylan from Locked On here to tell you about my friends at Rock Auto. Rock Auto is a family-owned and operated auto parts website geared to helping you get the parts you need without having to pay that parts store markup. You don't need to go there in person. There's no real need. If you already know what part you need, what's the point in going there, waiting around, and paying that extra price? Just go to rockauto.com, where the family-owned business can keep the prices the most affordable that you can find. Have parts for just about any car you can possibly think of, just about any part that you could possibly need to do the maintenance yourself. They might not have some of the super in-depth parts, but parts that you're going to be going to a shop to do anyway, you might not need them, and I'm sure you can special order them. Rock Auto prides themselves in giving you the parts that you need to care for your car the way it's cared for you without hurting your wallet. Go to rockauto.com, and in the box labeled "How did you hear about us?" just put in "Locked On." The rockauto.com, family-owned. Rock Auto, the perfect parts, the right parts, the right prices, just perfectly geared for you. Go to rockauto.com today. All right, everybody, welcome back to Locked On Braves. In the second segment brought to you by Rock Auto and by Locked On Today, if you want to look at some videos to kind of catch a quick recap of the main stories going on today, follow Locked On Today. You can follow them on Twitter, which is where I always like to get my information from. Obviously, just follow Locked On Today. So, like I said in the last segment, we're going to talk about this particular segment. We're just going to sing the praises of Oscar Anoa. Let me have this one, guys. I've earned this. The Oscar Anoa hype train is in full effect. Me and my buddy Dren on Twitter leading the charge for the Oscar Anoa hype train. And what he's been able to do has been nothing short of spectacular. It's more than even I was expecting, and I'm one of the minority that still view Oscar Anoa as a starter. Luckily for me, the Braves also view him as a starter. What Oscar's been able to do has been nothing short of eye-opening. I mean, if you talk about... If you were to ask before the season who was going to be the best Braves pitcher early on in the season, most everybody, myself included, would have said Max Fried. Maybe a few would have said Charlie Morton. Maybe a couple would have said Ian Anderson on the strength of last year. I don't think anybody would have said Drew Smiley, but it hasn't been any of those. It's been Oscar Anoa. And if you had asked people who was going to be filling in while the Braves were waiting for Mike Soroka to get back, most people would have said Bryce Wilson. As a matter of fact, when Anoa was announced as the starter, there were a lot of people who were wondering, well, why not Bryce? Well, the answer is because Oscar Anoa, despite the fact that his spring training ERA was not good, Oscar was by far the most electric of the starters, basically of every starter of the entire spring training. And that is due to a lot of hard work and a lot of changes that he made incrementally going back for the last couple years. So we've seen Oscar before, and we've seen him in short stints. We've seen him do really, really well. We've seen him struggle with command a lot at times. We've seen him be very inconsistent, and we've seen him kind of lose his stuff around the 40 to 55 pitch mark. So we've kind of all penciled him in as a reliever. Well, he was never a reliever coming up with the Twins. Matter of fact, with the Twins, he had at least, and this is, I'm quoting, you can ask Ben Chase on this, had at least six pitches in his repertoire, including three different types of fastballs, maybe even four, two different types of changeups, a splitter, the slider, and had a knuckle curve as well that he was getting. He had so many pitches that the Twins started paring him down to three at the time, three and four, just because they felt with that many pitches in his arsenal, he couldn't really devote enough time to work on them. This is very much like Yu Darvish, where Yu Darvish throws about 10 different pitches in any one game. You'll see him do things where... Now, a lot of them will be different variations of the fastball, you know, four-seam, cutters, two-seams, sinkers, which I don't care what anybody tells you, a two-seam and a sinker are different pitches. They're different grips. They're different pitches. But a lot of different types of fastballs, including a couple different types of sliders for you, as well as a couple different types of curves as well. But Oscar has been absolutely incredible. And we know what he did his last time out when pitch for pitch with Strasburg with a five shutout innings of five strikeouts. This one, he went even better, and he was just amazing from the jump. Six innings, three hits, one earned run on a home run by Adam Duvall, which he knew that was happening, one walk, 10 strikeouts. It was one of the best pitching performances of the day. I'm going to read you some lines from other pitchers from that all went yesterday. Gerrit Cole, six innings, three hits, one run earned, one walk, eight strikeouts. Tyler Glasnow, 7 2/3, two hits, no runs, one walk, 14 strikeouts. That's ridiculous. Yu Darvish, seven innings, Three hits, one run earned, one walk, six Ks. And Waskars again. Six innings, three hits, one run earned on a homer, one walk, and 10 strikeouts. So outpitched Darvish, outpitched Gerrit Cole, didn't outpitch Tyler Glasnow, but nobody's outpitching Tyler Glasnow except for Jacob deGrom right now, as Glasnow's on another planet too. But for Waskar, you're looking at him and people wondering who maybe aren't as into the prospects as some of us, or you know, as dedicated to the guys that they really stand like I do for Waskar, maybe wondering, how in the world is this happening? Well, if you're not following him already, you need to be following David Lee. He does a lot of these breakdowns, and he talks about this a lot. And one of the main things with Waskar, I had noticed, that, and David's noticed it too, is he changed his arm slot. And you could tell it in spring training. You could see him gradually raising his arm slot as the season went on last year. His final two starts, including that playoff outing, that's where you really started to see him with a more traditional three-quarter slot, maybe even closer to an over-the-top. He's been slowly moving the arm slot up. And what it's allowed him to do is it's allowed him to tunnel that fastball and slider. And what we mean by tunneling is it comes out of the same arm slot. So the pitch, the only difference in that slider looks like a fastball until it starts to get its break, maybe about 55 feet for some, maybe 58 for others before it really starts to make its break. It makes it a much harder pitch. It gives it more more vertical drop, more vertical movement than horizontal. And for hitters, vertical movement is the harder things to hit. That's changing the eye level. When you hear people talk about changing the eye levels, what it's talking about is, you know, it's a method of throwing hard stuff up, soft stuff low, or vice versa, but usually soft stuff goes low. It's about changing the bat path as well. If a guy thinks that a ball is going to be, if he's geared up for a ball being low and away, his bat path is going to be geared towards that. Or if he's geared for one low and in, and you throw it up and in, there's a more likely chance he's going to swing under it. And the way baseball's played today, the way most hitters swing the bat, they're going to swing under it if you're locating up and in consistently. But the main thing is he also ditched that two-seam. So it's not just the mechanical adjustments, which have done really well about keeping his body in line, keeping his front leg from flying open. It allows him to stay more contained and allows him to do better on the command. Because the strikeouts are brilliant to see. I've always thought Waskar is a double-digit K guy. He's insane stuff. But it's the walks. That's been the killer for him. Hasn't had consistent command, and by the third or fourth inning, the second time through the lineups, you know, guys have seen his two main pitches, and really, before this season, he wasn't really throwing the changeup in games. He was just sticking fastball slider, and was starting to run some pitch counts up and wasn't able to put guys away. Last night, really used the changeup, used it about 9 times, which not a lot in the span of 82 pitches, but enough, and he didn't show it until his second time through the order, to keep people off his fastball and his slider, and that slider has been the insane pitch for him. 8 of his 10 Ks last night were from the slider. Just absolutely ridiculous. The swing and strike rate is through the roof on that slider. It's a brilliant pitch. It's a beautiful one to look at. It's got nice late bend and drop on it. That fastball, he's been running up consistently to 98, 99. He's also been the hardest thrower on the Braves this year. It's been every single conceivable metric for him. This has been a perfect start. Now, I'm not going to predict that he keeps this exact same level of dominance all season long. At some point, if the Braves continue to keep him in the starting rotation, some teams, after they see him a couple times, they'll start to figure things out and he'll have to adjust back. But that's the name of the game. When we talk about Christian Pache, one of the reasons he struggled so much early is that he hasn't seen these pitchers before. So for him, this is his first look at these major league pitchers and their major league breakers. So slow starts are to be expected. Same thing for him at every level in the minors. But for Waskar, the biggest improvement is the walk rate and how deep he's been going. So 82 pitches, it doesn't seem like a lot, but considering before Waskar was essentially 55 pitches and done, it looks like we're finally starting to see him able to stretch out a little bit more. And I've been thinking this for a while, that the Braves probably did him a disservice growing through the minors, as he's been piggybacking with Patrick Weigel for years. He wasn't a guy that they would let get to. He didn't get to 75 pitches in a game until last year in that outing against the Dodgers. It was the first time in his career he'd hit 75 pitches. So for him, having to build that arm memory. I don't want to say arm strength. He's got arm strength. It's that arm memory, because arms, they do get adjusted to what you continually put them through, which is why if you're normally a three inning guy, or let's say you're normally a one inning guy, you're normally a reliever, and you start blowing guys away at 101, if you have to go more than those 20, 30 pitches or 20 pitches, hopefully, that you normally do, all of a sudden you'll lose your stuff the more pitches you throw, because your arm is just used to a certain amount of effort for a certain amount of pitches before it just kind of wears out. It's a common thing. It makes a lot of sense. It's the same way in weightlifting. It's the same way in just about everything. So you got to kind of train your arm to hold up the stamina for long terms and to be able to just maintain with your type of stuff. Last night, Waskar was able to do that. In the sixth inning, he was still pumping 95. It got up to 97 a couple times, and his slider still had the bite on it, which showed he wasn't that tired. I thought they could have run him out there for a seventh. He looked fine. I understand pulling him. Because when you're dealing with somebody as young as Waskar, by the way, Waskar is actually younger than Ronald Acuna, so I know it feels like he's been around forever, but Waskar is the youngest of these pitchers. So the fact that he's been able to progress this far this quickly, that's very, very impressive. And for anybody that was still talking about reliever, I'm not going to make fun of you for thinking he was a reliever. I'm just going to point out and revel in the fact that one of my guys seems to be on the right track, as I've been on the Waskar train ever since I really started seeing his stuff. It's beautiful to see. Will the Braves keep him in the rotation once Mike Soroka comes back? Will they go to a six-man? I don't know. I don't know that Snit can make himself go to a really buy into a six-man rotation. Maybe. Maybe he can. Maybe he will. We'll see. Snit's shown that over the course of his time as a big league manager, he's been willing to make adjustments incrementally. We'll see how that goes. But what it does do is it puts Drew Smyly on notice. Smyly has not been good in the regular season thus far. And if Waskar continues pitching the way he is, he's not leaving that rotation. He has been absolutely dominant. He's been the best pitcher for the Braves. We'll see Charlie Morton his third time out tonight. Charlie's second time out was actually the third best start of a Braves pitcher this season, the number one and number two, both by Waskar and Noah. We'll see what happens going forward. But for the Braves, I mean, this is a godsend because Max hasn't been sharp early. Ian hasn't been sharp early. Drew's been awful. You weren't expecting the guy just holding serve until Soroka gets back to be pitching as well as he has. The Braves haven't. The only time the Braves have had to dedicate a bullpen game was Max Fried's two-inning start his last time out. So really, really good to see from Waskar. Really proud of him. Really excited to see what comes forward for him. But there's another guy. Whenever you're talking about the Braves and you're talking about what's going on in 2021, there's one name that rises above all others and rises above all others in Major League Baseball. We're going to talk about Ronald Acuna and the superstar that we're getting to witness night in and night out and how he has somehow reached yet another level. Don't go anywhere. We're going to talk about that coming up next right here on Locked On Braves. Everybody, it's Dylan from Locked On here to tell you about my friends at BetOnline. I talk about them all the time because I like going to betonline.ag all the time. They are a phenomenal sports betting website, easy-to-use interface that's really cool-looking, and their customer service, second to none. The fact that you can contact them if you don't see a line that you want, you can contact them, and they will create a line for you. It's really, really about the consumer. Now, I say that, but the fact that it is a business that's meant to make money, but they make it the most fun and the genuinely enjoyable experience. And if you use our promo code Locked On, they're going to match your initial deposit 50%. So you put in 100, they're going to throw in another 50 for you, so you've got some extra play money. And that covers all sports, whether that's MMA, whether that's baseball, hockey, basketball, women's lacrosse, whatever. You can find those lines on betonline.ag. You don't have to be an expert. You don't have to be a beginner. There's lines for everybody. It's just about getting out there, an easy-to-use website, a place to go in there and have some fun and maybe learn something about some new sports. Because I'm telling you guys, if you're trying to learn about or trying to make yourself like another sport or get interested in another sport, there's no better way than putting a little money on it. Raise the suspense level, raise the drama, and it will increase your interest in that sport. I guarantee it. But don't just take my word. Try it out for yourself. Go to betonline.ag, promo code Locked On today. All right, everybody, welcome back to Locked On Braves. Final segment of the show and the show that we are going to dedicate to the hottest player on the planet right now in Ronald Acuna Jr. So we talk about Mike Trout and how insane the things that he does are, because they are. Mike Trout is, for my money, he's the most talented player we've seen yet. Now, you can make a case that certainly Barry Bonds, certainly guys like Willie Mays or Ted Williams, Mike Trout is right there among that pantheon. That's how insanely talented he is. If Mike Trout plays as long as some of these guys and he keeps up the same stuff, he's going to shatter records. That's the insane type of talent we're talking about. What Ronald is doing right now is on par with that, if not even more impressive, because Acuña has an element that Trout doesn't have. Now, Trout is fast. I'm not going to, like, Trout doesn't look like he'd be as fast as he is. He's very fast. But what Ronald can do game-breaking-wise is just, it's just foolish. It's just, you don't see other players in the league with this ability. Maybe you can say Fernando Tatis Jr., but Ronald has done it far more and far more often than Tatis. So whenever people compare the two, right now, Tatis is trying to be Acuña, not Acuña trying to post Tatis numbers. I mean, this is how insane this has been. So yesterday, he gets on base four times. Three walks, mind you, because the Marlins just did not want to pitch to him. Not shocking, he destroys the Marlins. He destroys a lot of people, but especially the Marlins. So three walks, he went one for two with those three walks. That was the 28th time he's reached base four times in a game. That is one behind Hank Aaron through the same time through age 23. Absolutely insane what he's able to do. His pace so far through 10 games, 65 homers with 48 steals. Obviously, that's probably not going to happen. But he's already been worth 1.1 F4 in 10 games. And for people that don't really care about war, all you need to know about it is he is the most valuable player in the league. It's absolutely incredible what we're starting to see him do. And he's done this really on the strength of the last six games or last seven games. I mean, it's been just that type of just insane type of performance. So you're not used to seeing, especially from a Braves player. Chipper was incredible, but the things that Ronald is doing right now are otherworldly. It's a different type of tier of what we're seeing. And there's no weakness in him. He's like, the big thing for a lot of power hitters is your swinging strike percentage, which means how often you swing and miss at strikes. And for Ronald, he's amazingly consistent through his career so far. 11.6, 11.6, and 11.5 through 2018, 2019, and 2020. This year, 4.2%. Now, it's probably going to regress to the mean, but all that means is his walk rate is going to skyrocket. As last year, his walk rate was 20%. I mean, this is a kid that has all the power in the world. We've seen him hit 495-foot homers at over 107 miles an hour velocity. He hits the ball harder or as hard or harder than anyone else in baseball. He's one of the fastest players in baseball. He's got a ridiculous arm strength that's really accurate as well. Perfect right fielder. An excellent defensive right fielder as well. This is a guy that's been just insane. His average exit velocity this year, 96.8. That is a hard hit ball, which is hard hit just means above 95 miles an hour, almost 65% of the time. Now, I'm not going to get into expected batting average. I hate that stat. But his expected slugging is 650. That's the pace that he's on. And you don't really have to go into the expected stats. You can just pull up his normal StatCast page. The things he's doing, they're a cheat code. And he's doing it against everybody in every type of way. Crushing Max Scherzer, he's beating up on anybody, Sandy Alcantara, who, by the way, is an outstanding pitcher in his own right, he's beating up everybody. And then he's stealing bases. And then what else does he do? Oh, he tags up on a pop-up to second base and scores. He hit a ball against Philadelphia. He hit it right at Didi Gregorius at 109 miles per hour. He beat it to first, 31 feet per second. That is insane. That is Tim LeCastro. That is Byron Buxton speed. I think that's the fastest anybody's been clocked in the majors this year at 31 feet per second. If it's not, then I need to know who beat it because that's ridiculous. That's absolutely insane. That's under a 4 second 40 yard dash. That's Usain Bolt. That's just stupid. It's not something you expect to see. And it's one of those things that Ronald has come into this year and you notice he is noticeably more trim than he was last year. I think, and I can't confirm this, but I think he thinks he was a disappointment last year. I think he feels like he was disappointed in his season a year ago. Now, it was a really, really good season, but it wasn't the normal Ronald Acuña year. I think he was not happy with the way he felt after putting on mass. I think he decided to cut himself back down closer to what he was in 2018 and really 2019 as well. And so far, it has paid huge, huge dividends. I mean, he has been just doing everything. We talk about this Braves offense that right now is averaging about four runs a game, despite the fact that Ronald and Travis are the only two hitting above 200. It's because of Ronald Acuña. He's hitting over 400 right now. His OPS is up over 1300, might be over 1400 now. He's just steals bases at whim. I mean, it's just what we're witnessing is special, special. This could be, if he keeps this up and stays healthy this year, this could be one of the truly special seasons in Major League Baseball history because there's not a weakness right now. Now, he's been streaky in the past, so we'll see how long he's able to keep this up. But again, he's only 23 years old. It's not like there's not another level for him to reach. He's not even in his physical prime yet. There, like, when he gets to be 26, 27, that's your physical prime. The things that he's already doing before then, we are seeing something that we haven't seen in a very long time. This is Ken Griffey Jr. type stuff. And I've compared him to Ken Griffey Jr. a lot, and I'm going to keep that comparison going because it really is all about health. If Ronald can stay healthy, we are going to see with him what we could have seen with Griffey. I mean, the power is insane. The speed is electric. The arm is fantastic. The joy, the charisma. He has everything to be the face of Major League Baseball. Throw in the fact that he has a real shot at being the single best player in the game too. And this is, I have no doubt he's going to be one of those guys that we talk about in the Mount Rushmore for the Braves. If he's not going to be, now I think, and I don't want to offend anybody because Chipper Jones is my favorite baseball player of all time. But I think we're going to be talking about Hank and Ronald. And I think that's going to be the two. That's going to be who we argue about the best in franchise history. Now, maybe because Chipper was here for 19 years and Chipper's one of the greatest third basemen of all time, Chipper's always going to be in that conversation too. When we talk about the top three, it's going to be Hank Aaron, Chipper Jones, and Ronald Acuna. And everybody else can argue about the order. It's just, I mean, it's truly special. I don't really know what else you can expect from him. I don't know what he's going to do next because he just seems to come out with something. He just seems to come out with something new every single day. I mean, it's just, it's comical at this point. It's just, I don't know what else he can possibly dip into to be an even better player, but there's going to be something. He's a relentless baseball head. He works as hard as anyone in the league. He dedicates himself to all phases. It's not just, you know, going out there and swinging in the cages. It's the physical aspect too, which a lot of times is the harder thing to maintain. He's already a superstar in the league, so a lot of guys tend to lose that drive when they become a superstar. For him, he's competing against himself. It's just, he is a true joy to watch and a league full of joys to watch. Maybe he got a little bit upset that everybody was talking about Juan Soto being the best young hitter. Maybe he was a little upset that Tatis was taking some of the shine. I don't know. But Ronald right now, this type of pace, this is an MVP. And this is not just any old MVP. This is a walk-away MVP of epic proportions if he keeps this up. I cannot wait to see what's going to happen next. We're getting our first look at him again tonight at 7:20. It'll be Charlie Morton on the bump for the Braves versus Pablo, or Max Fried on the bump for the Braves versus Pablo Lopez for the Fish. Excited to see what Ronald can do against Pablo Lopez, who one of those guys that I actually kind of like him. Very smart guy. You'll hear them talk about how he's a doctor, but I can't wait to see what Ronald does next for an encore. And I know the rest of you can't either. Hopefully you're able to get this show in before the game starts. But if not, I'll be looking for you guys afterwards. So thank you guys so much for tuning in. Sorry we came in so late today. A little bit of issues this morning, but we're ready. We're raring to go. We'll be back again tomorrow right here on Locked on Braves.